download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So it is a little bit after 4 o'clock on the 30th of July. I'm sitting in scenic downtown Flemington in the heart of summer, in the heart of Hunterdon County. I do cover both counties, so this is my Hunterdon County show. I'm sitting in the heart of Flemington in scenic downtown Flemington in the heart of Hunterdon County, and we're going to talk to Al Warr today. They did ask me to give the weather report. All I can tell you is it's hot. It's 82 degrees coming in, and it looks like we are with 52% humidity. It's 50-50. There's no rain in sight till Saturday. It's going to be 80 during the day, 80 to 84, and 64 to 66 overnight, like Groundhog Day. That's what's coming for the next 5 days. Let me play another few commercials.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, Al, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Or how are
hello,
you?
Hello, 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 hello.
Yep, it's Joe Peters, and we've got each other, and we can hear each other, and that's really great. So what's new?
Joe, if you can hear me, I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Let me tune it up. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? 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 Now?
Hello?
Hey, Al, can you hear me?
Oh, barely.
How about now?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, the only problem is I've got the sound up too loud here, so I'm going to blow my eardrums out. Let me take it down a little. Give me one second. I'm going to get somebody to give me some help. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I have to have it up here, but now it's real loud over here. And when Al talks, I can hear him normally.
Hear you
yeah.
Could you lower that one?
But this is the one that's given the trouble. He can't hear me when it's down here, but he can hear me when it's up there.
Oh. Hmm.
Hmm. We're digesting it, Al. Yeah. I'm wondering if another pair of earphones would be better, because these were really loud when I came in.
Let me grab Michelle. Let's see. That's a little...
Al, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? It's the earphones. Okay. I'm good.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I had the wrong earphones on, and it was too loud.
Blast you out of the room, huh?
Yeah. It's like, in order for you to hear me, I had to blast my ears out. I'm saying, well, this isn't going to work. We'll go about 2 minutes, and they'll be carrying me out on a stretcher. So how are you?
I'm good. Hot.
Hot, yeah.
It's warm. It's July. What do you expect?
It's that time of the year, isn't it?
It reminds me of growing up in Georgia.
Ah, is that where you grew up? I know I made in my notes that we talked last time that you had some dairy farm experience.
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm with no electricity and, of course, no air conditioning. In fact, I remember the first time I ever heard of an air conditioner. I was flipping through a magazine that my dad had picked up in town, and I saw an ad that said it was an air conditioner.
Wow.
I must have been 10 years old.
Huh.
And I said, if I ever get grown, I'm going to get one of those and live in it.
Good for you. Good for you. So we always had the old joke, sure, it's air conditioned. Have you ever seen air in this condition? But I remember
right.
Funny story. My son, who's, I don't know, he's grown, okay, has a pickup truck. I borrowed his pickup truck, and I'm using it to move from one house to another. I figured take all the little boxes over to myself. Why pay a mover to do that? So I call him up. I says, Joe, how do you turn the air conditioner on? He says, it's right next to you. Roll it down. So not everybody has air conditioning.
Your son has a sense of humor.
He does. He's got his father's sick sense of humor. Sick puppy, they call it. So last time we talked, we got way off the subject matter, and I wanted to get back and see if we could get back on. But you left me with a thought about thinking critically. So I said, in effect, let me look up what that really means to everybody, because everybody thinks what thinking critically means is different. But quite honestly, when I looked it up, it said, challenge everything.
Exactly.
And when I think about challenging everything, I think about the generation that's growing up underneath us that knows everything and challenges nothing.
And challenges nothing. You can't believe everything you hear, read, see, whatever. I attribute that to my dad, who was a religious reader of the newspaper, which came with the postman every day, and he would read it cover to cover. But he would always start with the want ads, and I said, why on earth do you read the want ads? And he's, because that's where life is.
That's funny.
Anyway, he was a great one for saying, okay, now read this sentence and tell me what it says and tell me what it doesn't say. In other words, look beyond what you're seeing and think about it and see what is not being said. So I learned to spin out all kinds of alternatives to anything that I heard or read, and it has served me well all my life.
That's interesting. So challenge everything. I've got a son-in-law and his girlfriend who are probably just above millennial status. I figure millennials are 25 to 35, but they're in their early 40s. But think very much the same. I mean, everything overlaps eventually. And what you can't tell them anything. They know everything. And it's like, I said, did I miss this course when I was in college?
How did they get to be 35 or 40? Huh?
Yeah, right. And I love them, but it's not just them. They're surrounded by a whole generation that isn't challenging anything.
It just reinforces what each other is saying.
Right.
And that bugs me when I get in a situation like that. I have learned through a long life to challenge everything that is said or printed or on television or whatever.
Well, and
you got to look behind everything and see what spin out some alternate scenarios.
When I first got into the workforce, I got hired by a guy who made me do some of that. And he's saying, you know, why are you doing what he said? That doesn't make sense. Challenge that person.
Yeah.
And when I started doing it, I think I started doing what you're talking about, but I find that most people don't. And I read up, and I found a couple of interesting articles. I think we're going to be talking more about millennials than anything else today. But they said the following things about millennials. They're very well read. They read 4 to 5 books a year, which is well above the average. 78% of all the people in the country never go to the library after they get out of school and have never read a book again. So millennials, very well read. And they've got this cockiness about them, and they're not challenging assumptions, but they're very politically in tune as well. So I'm saying, is there a possibility that we can, because we see some very radical thinking going on. I'm not sure it's right or it's wrong, but it's like, okay, you cannot propose something and unless you justify how we're going to pay for it. That's my way of thinking. That's part of the job. And, I just read somebody's philosophy on doing something was going to cost every man, woman, and child $70,000 a year if we ever implemented it. That's going to be kind of a tough nut to crack.
Well, we're never going to implement it.
Right.
Guess what?
But when these things start to make sense and this generation that is well-read and tuned in politically but the challenge is nothing – could swing the vote because of their population to somebody that makes no sense or is dangerous.
And that
scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I got a full indoctrination from my mom and dad on the farm, and then when I got to school, I learned, there's something called logic.
Yeah.
And there's a tool that can be used on all kinds of situations and figure things out, whether you're trying to build a doghouse or figure out who to vote for in a political situation.
So I found an article that said 26 amazing facts about millennials. I'm just going to pick a few out of them. They love to read, we talked about. They're blamed for killing certain industries, though that may be not due to their status. Better for worse, millennial generation has been accused of killing mayonnaise. I don't understand that. Killing shopping malls, killing paper napkins, McDonald's Big Mac, and much, much more.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's got to be some truth to that, or they wouldn't have written it. Millennials also prepping for retirement already. But they're not doing a very good job of it because the average wealth of a millennial is sufficiently below, like a 5-4 basis of the generation before them at this point in life.
Yeah.
A lot of
They tend to spend everything they make.
Right. Right, and we'll get into that a little deeper, because a lot of them are still receiving financial support from their parents.
Yeah.
I just saw that on TV today, where one guy, one commentator says, yeah, I still pay my kid's cell bill. Well, why do you do that? Well, he doesn't make enough. Well, I can truly understand that, because the next generation, or the millennial generation, is probably making two-thirds of what the generation before them made, their parents. So it's a little tougher. They're not getting the stock options. They're not getting the bonuses. But
they'll never learn to
right.
take care of themselves until they pick up the ball and run with it. I think parents do a great disservice today to their kids, and teachers the same way. We're a society that tends to want to take care of everything. Somebody else takes
right.
care of everything. We don't have to worry about what we eat, because somebody's telling us what is good to eat and what is not. We don't have to worry about medical problems, because there's a health care plan that somebody is following or putting in place or whatever they're doing. All these things converge and make a situation where people don't think for themselves. There is no longer, in the younger generation that I come across, who knows how to think for themselves and take personal responsibility for their own life.
I tend to agree, and I was just watching a commercial before I came, and it was saying you could lose 18 pounds in the first month of this diet. Well, great, you could lose 18 pounds. I'm sure they're right. But is it a healthy diet? Has it got your diet off balance? Are you eating too many high cholesterol and high salt things in order to do this? It's so, you know, there's a whole balance of life you've got to take care of. So it's
sure.
it's like anything else. And I have all the respect in the world for people who want to be vegetarians. But when a vegetarian starts to tell me they've got arthritis at 40, I say, maybe that's the balance
maybe
is
that's
off.
The reason for that.
Yeah, so, okay, I think it's fine that you don't want to eat anything that had eyes.
One of my favorites with the food is salt.
Yeah.
We've been told for years not to eat salt, take the salt off the table, get rid of the salt, don't buy stuff
right.
that has salt in it. And that goes counter to, well, it can go counter to healthy living. Your body... An adult male needs about 2,000 milligrams of salt in one form or another every day.
Right.
You don't need 10,000.
Right.
But you need some. We take things to extreme, it says, and I fault the education system, the government, and the media for these types of things. The media takes one study. I'm sure you've seen these things that they take one study and run with it ad infinitum. Just
right.
They get the word out there, and that is a good thing, to get word out on legitimate studies that are being made, particularly when it comes to food and nutrition. But to run with the salt thing is counterproductive.
And there was a woman who used to be my dermatologist. She retired. She knew I was well-read, and she was well-read, and we just sort of talked too much. And she told me to read the story of salt. There's the story of salt. There's the story of other things in history. And, I mean, salt was the commodity of the world at one point in time.
Sure.
So it was traded like we trade gold today. And it was
yeah,
an amazing
it was
story.
Money.
Yeah, it was something you needed. It kept goods fresh or from decaying quickly, and it was traded just like gold, and it was a currency of the world. So I think when I see somebody doing something in excess, I don't care if it's drinking or smoking or exercising or whatever, I have to say, what will the result of that be? And I'll give you a good example. One of the fellow people I worked with was a weightlifter. He was a very stocky, muscular person, and he was a weightlifter. And he had state championships in a couple of things. But at about 60 years old, his spine started giving him issues. And I'm not sure one was related to the other, but one would think lifting all that weight over all that amount of time may have had something to do with it.
So there's
this loose association that you don't realize that, yeah, you're accomplishing one thing but not another. And I don't care if it's diet or exercise or just not challenging beliefs, because I heard one of the squad, we'll call them, I think Mr. Trump gave them a name, and I'm not saying they're wrong, and I'm not saying they're right, but I heard her be asked, how will we pay for that? She says, just let them pay for it. It was as simple as that.
Yeah, just pay for it.
Yeah, just
print some more money.
Right. So I come from a back...
You've touched on something that is really a pet peeve of mine. I've long thought that all politicians, I don't care if they're a lawyer, but they have to have run a business
right.
where they meet the public. I'm not talking about corporate America now. I'm talking about a small operation where they have to meet the public and count up how much they've made that day and see if they have enough to eat the next day.
Right.
If we had that rule in place, not only for politicians, but for educators and others, physicians even, I think we would be in a much better place.
Well, look at the squirrels. And squirrels are not the most intelligent animal. I think they're reasonably intelligent for what they are.
Well, but they've made it.
Yeah, a squirrel knows enough that he's got to get up and eat. And he knows enough that he's got to put a few nuts away for when it gets cold. He just forgets where he buried them, and he digs your garden up in the spring. But whatever. A squirrel also doesn't know he doesn't know. So a squirrel will keep trying something over and over and over to a lot of times where they accomplish it. I actually saw where a guy had this, like, 18-step thing to get a squirrel to do A and then B happen. He did B and then C happen. He did C and then D happen. And it was just a... Like a figure, what was it called? The guy that hold the levers and gears. They used to have the thing in Grand Central Station. I'm thinking Rube Goldberg, but it wasn't that. But it was this convoluted process to do something. And the squirrel, after he did it the way this guy designed it twice, figured out he can go from step 2 to 17. And he outsmarted the guy. And it was just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, because the animal said what he wants to do is eat.
And yeah, yeah.
My son-in-law.
We're all, you're getting into Mother Nature here.
Yeah.
I mean, she has spent thousands of years developing animals, plants, us.
Yep.
And when we try to mess with that, we get in trouble. We might not know it at the time, because our knowledge is limited, but one way or another, we will get in trouble. Never go against that. I thank goodness that I was raised on a farm, because I'm grounded in what nature does. One of the things that I had a conversation recently with a nutritionist, and I asked the question, what would you recommend people do if the electric grid went down for 3 months for food? You got to have food and water. And she was sort of at a loss. She gave me some understanding, but the point was, and then we had a real conversation, everybody, just about everybody, has growing in their backyard enough food to survive. They don't know it.
Right.
There's all kinds of plants that grow, and I gather them up and eat them. I put the stuff on salads. One of the things that surprised her was I told her about a daylily bud omelet. You can harvest the daylily buds before the flower opens.
Interesting.
And throw them in an omelet, and it is a very tasty omelet. And I'm sure it's healthy. But nobody knows this anymore, so the daylilies bloom by the side of the road and die and come back next year and doing their thing.
Back to that argument of doing for others rather than having them do for themselves.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've
you
always
have to know how to take care of yourself, and that's one of the things that, again, I grew up on a farm, so I learned that very early. By the time I was 6 years old, you can gather these types of plants, and Mom can put them in a pot and cook them. We ate dandelion greens as soon as they came up. But
wow.
People today, if they can't get into the supermarket and the electric is down, you can't buy anything. You can't have gas to even get there.
Right.
Or
right.
Money out of the bank. Your cell phone still works because you have a battery, but the TV is off probably.
Well,
anyway.
Even when we went through the blackouts that were about 7 or 8 days each for the two hurricanes, the biggest tragedy was getting the cell phone charged other than taking a shower.
Yeah, how are you going to charge your cell phone?
Right.
These people who want to do away with the sources of energy have no conception of where energy comes from, how it's made, how it's distributed. They just don't know. And they betray their ignorance every time they open their mouth.
So I know.
Let's get rid of all the coal. I remember Hillary Clinton saying, we're going to put
great.
All the coal companies out of business. Well, there goes, 30-40% of the energy to generate electricity as it stands now. Now, I'm not saying don't go toward solar or whatever, but we have to get there, people.
Well, and the other side is I keep
there's
hearing...
There's no way to get there unless today we don't have atomic energy. They don't approve those things, so they haven't built one in many years here. But and that's pretty clean. That would be, I suppose, ultimate clean unless you have an accident.
Unless you have an accident. You know, no tsunamis.
Yeah.
I keep hearing this argument that the world is getting warmer and it's our fault. And quite honestly, I think we're helping to make it warmer. But I think 88% of it is coming from the sun is getting hotter. And the sun is a supernova, and eventually it's going to explode. And we're all gambling pretty heavily that it's not going to happen in the next 100 years. So who cares? Okay, there's nothing we can do about
it. It's constantly changing. That's the
right. Yeah. But, yeah, we could stop doing a few things that would improve. But would we really make a big dent? I'm not sure. But I'm all for clean energy. I'm all for things that make sense. But I'm all for the balance of the world because I think most people don't understand that balance. So
one of the basic things that is not understood by world leaders, it seems, particularly in Europe, they don't understand that the mechanism to feed the world is largely capitalism.
Yes.
It's not all these other isms that they come up with fine-sounding names and big philosophical treatises on. But the capitalism that was born, pretty much, it wasn't born, I don't mean that, but it supports this country. And this country has pretty much shown the way to feed the world, and other people copy it. But they do it in spite of the politicians that tend to get in the way.
Yes, and corruptly sometimes.
And corrupt. Look at this thing in
Puerto Rico.
This blown up in Baltimore.
Good. That had absolutely nothing.
If anybody's to be believed, they've spent billions of dollars over the last, decades.
In Baltimore, where'd
the money go?
I listened to both sides of that argument and calling this racial discrimination. There was no racial discrimination, in my opinion, at all. All he said...
No, it's just graft and fraud.
Yeah, all he said is, who are you to sit in the bully pulpit and say this to innocent city, county, state workers?
The money goes into the pockets of the people who can grab it.
Yep. So I know
that is human nature again.
One of the philosophies my father had with me, and I passed on to my kids, and I'm not saying it's right, but it's the way I've lived my life, is that the only thing I got from my dad when I needed something for free was a hard time.
And exactly.
He said, look at
exactly that feeling, Joe.
Yeah, look at the end of your arms. What are there? Two hands, okay? That's how you get it. Take your
two
hands
you get it.
And go
when
do
I
it.
When my dad asked me what I was... he sat me down and said, what are you going to do when you get out of high school? And I said, I'm going to college. And he said, who's going to pay for it?
First words
out of his mouth, yeah. I'll never forget it. And the first words back to him from my mouth were, I'm going to pay for it. And I did.
Good for you. So where did you go to college?
Mercer University in Georgia.
In Georgia. So your dairy farm was in Georgia. That's where you grew up. And where in Georgia was Mercer?
Macon,
Georgia.
Home of Little Richard.
Oh, my goodness, man. I love this music. So it's, you know, I've sort of passed on to my kids what my father passed on to me, that, okay, if you're really in a hard pinch, I might help you. But if it's just something you didn't take care of in a normal course of human events, all you're getting from me is a hard time. I'll help you figure out how to fix it, but I'm not necessarily going to fix it for you or give you the money to fix it, because I think that makes you weak. And
well, yeah, it does. And people who pay for their parents, who pay for their kids' cell phone bill, I have no patience for that.
Oh, and it gets worse, because I can't tell you. We saw the study about how many parents do their children's homework for them.
Yeah.
That's just so ludicrous. The kid doesn't get, first, he doesn't have the sense of responsibility. But secondly, he's not learning what he's supposed to be learning. There's a reason they're getting homework.
Exactly.
So my big fear is, because people aren't challenging anything, and because millennials are, and they're voting more than ever, and they're running for Congress more than ever, and because they're big in numbers, is that we could be making large-scale decisions on the country based on all of that. And that's kind of scary.
It is scary. I know exactly. I have the same feeling. It's scary how many people buy in, have bought into this, all these socialism-type programs. Which it shows they don't know how to think. They don't have personal responsibility. They haven't been educated, even though AOC, I understand, has a degree from Boston University in economics.
In economics, I think she has her master's.
That says a lot about Boston University.
Well, I think she's intelligent. I just
that
don't think
tells me that school is not worth going to.
I think she's intelligent in the fact that she figured out a way to get the degree.
She has raw intelligence.
But she, now when you take intelligence and turn it into smart, that takes some adaptation.
That's what
I think is missing in a lot, is that they may be intelligent. And I go back to my son-in-law. I think he's very intelligent. But has he taken that intelligence and turned it into being smart by being able to know how to talk to people? No. Doesn't even try.
Has no experience.
Right.
When you miss those critical years when you're young, what is it, 3 to 7 or so?
Yep.
Of developing relationships and learning how to deal with people and so forth. If you miss that, if you're totally glued to a screen of a computer game or whatever you're glued to, you're not learning. You're not preparing yourself for the future. And once somebody goes through that period, I understand it's very difficult, if not impossible, to go back and pick it up.
I can believe that, because your values have been developed and they're a foundation. Yes. And if you've got the wrong foundation, your house isn't going to stand up too straight.
No.
Or last too long. And, you know, on the other side, this guy's pretty successful. He's found a way through his intelligence and through skills to earn a very nice living. And he thinks he's smart. And I'm saying, no, you're not smart. You're intelligent.
Yeah, well,
and I tip my hat to you, because you're probably earning more than I am. And somebody says, so what's wrong with that? I'm saying, because you've got to fit into the world. You've got to give back a little. And that he hasn't figured out how to do.
Yeah.
But the world goes along. Let's talk and adapt this to Hunterdon County. I mean, I'm looking at Hunterdon County because I'm so very involved in Hunterdon County and Somerset County at this point in time, as a county that is a great place to live and not a great place to earn a living.
Yeah.
And so everybody goes to the east, and we call that traffic, and it happens coming east to here because all the people from Pennsylvania earn another $2 or $3 an hour in New Jersey. So all of our car dealerships, we had this conversation, they're all filled with people from Pennsylvania for the same reason. So we all go to the east, make some money, and we all go back to the west because that's where we live, or we don't know any better. Okay? That's where we always live, so that's where we're going to live forever. Nothing wrong with that. But Hunterdon County, I think, needs some changes in the way it thinks dynamically.
Well, Drew, it needs, I've had this conversation with many people, business people, over the years writing this column, but it needs people who understand how to do it and then actually do it.
Right.
There's a lot of potential in Hunterdon County, but you're not going to change that by funding another study.
Yes.
I'm sick of studies. The only people who make out from studies are the people who do the study, get paid, get put on the shelf, and wait 2 or 3 years, and they do another study. It's crazy.
Right.
Absolutely crazy. When you're running a business, though, you don't have the wherewithal to do a study. You've got to react that day or that week, that month, whatever.
Exactly.
And get yourself on a path that shows some success. I was very much taken, I have been over the years, but a recent one of the St. Liberty Hall Pizza in Lambertville partnered with Oh Wow Cow Ice Cream.
Okay.
And they held a big event and attracted a lot of people, I don't know, it was a week or so ago. Now, there's somebody who took the bull by the horns and said, we've got to do something to increase some business here. Let's partner up with I called it market math. One plus one can equal more than two.
Right.
Because you attract a lot of people. Now, that's somebody who knows how to address the world and have the possibility of overcoming a problem. But to sit back and fund and do a study of what should happen in Flemington is ridiculous, in my view. Turn people loose and let them do whatever they want to do.
It's free enterprise.
I'm sorry?
It's called free enterprise.
Yeah.
And play it backwards. I mean, you get a guy who comes into Flemington and wants to do this massive project, and people rip him apart because he's going to make some money out of it. He should make some money out of it. Nobody
of
else
course,
is
that's
proposing.
The reason you do things like that. I mean, it's not just for the money. You want to build up your community. Everybody benefits from things like that. But when people who do nothing but complain...
Right.
Have the say-so over whether you can or can't do something, then things don't happen.
Right, right. I mean, I want to say...
I had a long conversation with Petrucci. Oh, it's been several years ago. And he told me, he said, I do projects in New Jersey, but very limited extent. And the reason is I can cross the river into Pennsylvania... And the number of and extent of regulations is an order of magnitude less. So why should I bother with trying to get approvals to do a project in New Jersey, which will take me a year or two to get all the approvals necessary to begin, when I can go across the river to Pennsylvania in 3 months, I can do it.
Good, perfectly.
There's the problem right there.
Perfectly
and
good
the,
logic.
It points to a basic problem in our society. The people who are writing the regulations or elected officials have no experience in business.
Right.
They don't know how it works.
Or they're solving a problem at that point in time, and the whole world changes. But that problem solving is still in effect 20 years later, and it's stopping progress. And I'll give you a good example. We are jurisdicted to build on 1 acre plus lots, and we're jurisdicted to build 3,000 plus square foot houses because we don't want too many kids in our school system. That's not a problem anymore, but that's what we're still jurisdicted to do. And as a result, we don't want houses like that anymore. And we're
there's no incentive, it seems to me, among regulators and business, the regulators and the politicians who really run things. There's no incentive for them to go back and look at regulations that may be counterproductive and get rid of them. What is the incentive? There's no incentive for that.
Well,
the incentive is to get elected again.
Yes.
Or to keep your job, and that means you add more billings or more people to your bureaucracy if you're in the regulating business, or you have to plan for your next election.
And my cousins
give something away in order to buy some votes.
My cousin, who's a PhD from Harvard, and he teaches at, I guess he's retired now, but he taught one of the better schools. He said to me, he says, that's exactly what's wrong. We should have, everybody gets a turn. One party gets a turn, and then the other party gets a turn. You can't run for re-election. Maybe we make the term 6 years instead of four so you can get something done. But what we do is, one party gets in for 6 years, 8 years, whatever the time is, and as soon as they're out, the next party's ripping apart the few things they got accomplished and becoming obstructionists for. Then they become obstructionists to them, and it goes on and on and on, and the bridges are falling down, and the world is coming to an end. We need a more well thought out, and I'm not so sure he wasn't onto something. You can't run for re-election because as soon as you get in, the first thing they've got you doing is spending 80% of your time on a phone fundraising
for the next election.
Right.
Yep, that's what the people in Congress mainly do.
That's it.
Well, a good example is this House of Representatives right now. They have that USMCA. They're waiting on them to approve it. Are you going to approve it, or are you going to kick it out, kick the can down the road? What are you going to do, Nancy? It's been 8 or 9 months since they finished the negotiation. Mexico said okay. Canada said okay. And the U.S. House of Representatives hasn't even brought it up for a vote.
Nope, because it's...
What's going on?
Obstructionist thinking, and 8 years ago, the other side was being the obstructionist. Quite honestly, I think the current obstructionists are a little bigger than the last side, but that's just my belief. They might have been equal.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot of obstruction.
There is, and a lot of not getting much done, and a lot of we're kicking the can. We're not even moving the can. The bridges are falling. We don't even have the can. That's a good way of looking at it, Al.
The can's outside, and we're inside arguing.
So what do we do to change it?
I
think
I
one
know.
Of the things we do to change it is we've got to stop believing that the people that are running for office are the right people. That's challenge everything. Because
I'm often reminded of William F. Buckley said he'd rather have the first 100 people out of the Boston telephone book run Congress than the representatives who were elected.
I love it.
I think he might have a point.
I think he might. Yeah, I'm a little discouraged. I'm a lot discouraged. I mean, one of the things
you can't afford to be discouraged, Joe. You have to keep going. And I'm an optimist all the way through and through. And I think that things do tend to go up and down and sideways and get obstructed and so forth. But ultimately, I think this country is the best hope of the world. And I've thought that ever since I was in high school. I had to take a lot of civics courses in high school. We read Shakespeare along with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. In fact, I don't think they even bother anymore.
I don't think they do either. I know I read, there was a two-part series on one of the History Channels about Thomas Jefferson, and I said, here's a guy that got it. He could make it work, but he got it. He wrote the Constitution when he was in France. And we enacted on it with very little changes, and he came back and became president, and he had 147 slaves, some of which were his children. It was like, okay, he got it, but he couldn't make it work. Okay, so there's a lot of people, and I meant to say this earlier, can tell you what we need down the road, but they can't tell you how to get from there, not even the first step. He got it. He knew what we needed down the road. We haven't changed it yet to any great extent. but he couldn't make it work.
Now the only thing you hear about Thomas Jefferson is they want to take his statue out of the hall.
Oh, that blows my mind.
It's ridiculous. We're trying to rewrite history.
Right.
It's exactly what is going on.
These so
people who want to, in San Francisco, they covered up a mural of George Washington, and there are all kinds of instances all across the country. When you put people with a little bit of power in charge with and no knowledge,
yep,
then they try to rewrite the past. You can't rewrite the past. It's impossible. It's embedded in the words we speak. It's embedded in the way we live. And ultimately, I think that will probably save us in spite of the millennials that you mentioned.
I certainly hope you're right. I am obviously scared that the sheer numbers could sway without challenge the thinking in the wrong direction. I think the thing that has always inspired me is that money, 75% of all the money, are in the hands of 55 and older people. So the more conservative thinking typically runs the purse strings, but that doesn't mean we don't get some people in office that shouldn't ever have even been considered for office because they play on the bleeding hearts of the people who think their ideas are right and they get elected, such as the one you mentioned earlier to some extent. Once again, I think intelligent, but not smart.
And, right. And, there's and a big difference.
Take a look at what happened with that Amazon thing. And then on top of that, I understand certain politicians, to go unnamed, had invested heavily in the real estate around where Amazon was going to build, and they got burnt.
So,
hey, what can I tell you? But Hunterdon County, I think, needs a plan for direction. I think Mark Salek is a good guy in the right office, but he's one guy.
He's only one person. You can only do so much. I think he's a good guy, too, but I'm frustrated that he doesn't have more people on his staff and fewer people in the bureaucracy of the county.
Yes.
It seems that that's where the emphasis should be, and turn him loose and get things done. But as long as you have the bureaucracy that is, any bureaucracy, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I first ran across and became interested in bureaucracies when I have a great interest in ancient Egypt.
Right.
And the priests at one of the temples found that people would pay good money in those days. I mean, we're talking about 3000 BC or something.
Yeah.
They would pay good money for various animals that they'd gone to work on and taxidermied into something that they could sell.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the representatives of the gods of the day. And so the priest decided, what came to pass was they would take ibis birds, which were quite common and popular with the people in the religion, and they would embalm them and sell them in clay pots, I think, to out the front door to make money for the temple.
Yep.
Well, they decided with the bureaucracy, we don't need to put the whole bird in there. Let's just put a leg or a wing, and we can multiply our number of birds that we sell. So that's what they did, and they did it for a long time and made a lot of money until one of the pharaohs caught on to it and changed it. But it was a very interesting read. I read that in high school.
Wow.
And I said, gee, bureaucracies are there to make money and expand their influence and their numbers.
Right.
And that's it. And that lesson still holds. Look at Washington. Look at Trenton.
what I love, my pet peeve is, if something doesn't work, let's change it. For instance,
yeah, let's throw some more money at it and hire some more people.
We didn't win the Supreme Court battle, so let's change how many judges are in a Supreme Court.
No.
This is the rules.
You know, that's craziness.
or we didn't win the popular vote, so let's change so that you can't win if you don't have the popular. We've elected four presidents this way. Start to learn to color within the rules, or if it's really a bad rule, learn to change it, but don't learn to complain and do nothing. If you're doing nothing, you have no right to complain.
There are ways to change. You go to the Congress and you change the law, or you go to the people and do another amendment to the Constitution, whatever.
Right.
We have a mechanism there that works, that's proved itself for 200 years, and yet they don't want to use the mechanism. They just want their way.
Yeah.
Do it my way or the highway.
Well, and quite honestly, I think that is the rule of the land once you have power. And once you put the wrong person in power, it's a real dangerous situation you've got on your hands.
Oh, yeah.
I've been complaining about this new dictator in Venezuela. And we've been talking about this for a year and a half, and nothing's changed. He's still
nothing's
in power.
Changed.
Somebody gave him the reins and the guns, and he's still in power.
People are still suffering,
right?
And they can't seem to rise up or get together to do anything about it themselves, which ultimately I think it's up to them. It's not up to us to go down there and change their way of life. You can't do that. I think it was a mistake to try that in Iraq.
Right.
To try to change, we're gonna impose a democracy on Iraq. Come on.
No, please.
People need to decide themselves and either then you get along with them or you don't.
So looking backwards, things always make much more sense than looking forward.
That's true.
Watching that Dick Cheney thing called The Vice, which was a movie, they felt that the thing they did with Iraq was the right thing at the right point in time to win public favor. And the WMD not being there didn't help matters, and the fact that it lingered on and never got resolved didn't help matters. It's just amazing how we repeat history over and over and over and never learn from it. I mean, Napoleon lost because he got within 20 miles of Russia's capital, and it got to be winter.
And he then lost.
And then he lost. So what? 50 years later, Hitler does the same thing. You know, it's just amazing. We do not learn from our mistakes. But I'm still looking at Hunterdon County. We've only got about 3 minutes left. What's the one thing we could do in Hunterdon County? Maybe get more Mark Salix or...
get more what? I didn't hear.
Get more Mark Salix to help make things right.
I would turn him loose.
Yeah.
I literally would give him a budget and turn him loose and say, whatever you do, Mark, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be watching over your shoulder, but no more reporting to this committee or that committee.
Right.
Just do the job.
Give them the room to run.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get anything done if you're hampered by a bunch of rules and regulations. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have rules and regulations.
Right.
You know, capitalism without rules and regulations will run amok very quickly. But you got to have rules and regulations, and the same goes for Hunterdon County. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about a county or a state or the nation. It's the same, it seems to me, the same same problem. But I would turn Mark loose.
That's a strong...
Not up to me, though.
That's a strong suggestion. I've not seen anything in Mark that I've been disappointed in. I've just not seen the results out of Mark I had hoped for, and I think what you just described is the reason for it. He's done a lot of good. I was hoping he could do a lot more good.
He has done a lot of good, and he has a lot, from my... assessment of him, of the man, is that he has a lot more in him, but he's hampered, he's constrained. He has to report to all these other people who have other ideas about whatever, and then he's got to satisfy that. I mean, that's ridiculous. Turn him loose.
I love it. So
if he makes a mistake, fire him.
We got a minute left. What could we
say? I hear that multifamily units are being built at that farm place across from the Ryland Inn.
Yes, you know, the upstairs units.
I don't know anything about it other than what I just said.
The upstairs are all affordable housing.
Oh.
And they're down one of those streets there. There's an old factory being taken down. They're going to put up multifamily.
Oh, they said they were going to put up a new building. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's down the street. So I think affordable housing changes the complexion of Hunterdon and Somerset County greatly, and I think that's what it's intended to do. I mean, we came here, and, you know, it's like the sun exploding in 6 million years. Well, the county won't change that quick between now and whenever we bite the big one. So
yeah,
we're not worried about it too much, but we may not see people come here the way they came for the reasons we came because of all of that.
Well, I think we spoke to that last time,
yep,
that that company that's coming into the old Merck complex.
Yep.
Shows some promise there. That's the kind of company and upgrade you need, and Mark Saluk should be able to, if he were turned loose, should be able to get something like that done elsewhere in the county.
I agree.
You need 10 of those.
You do.
And all of a sudden, you wouldn't be able to keep up with the people trying to buy their homes.
I wish that was from your lips to God's ears. Hey, Al, our time is up. I appreciate you tuning in. We'll have to do this again in a couple of months because it's always an interesting conversation.
Sure.
And
I'd be glad to. Look forward to it.
Thank you for your time.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, guys, that's the end of today. I'm going to play my intro one more time, and we're going to turn it over to the news and to our music host who will be on next. Thank you for tuning in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Speaking to reporters at the White House, President Trump says he believes Baltimore is the most unsafe city in the country. The president also denied he's angry with Congressman Elijah Cummings.
I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just saying Elijah Cummings has been there for 26 years. He's really by far the highest ranking politician. He's seen these mayors get thrown out, thrown out, thrown out. They're all friends of his.
The president also questioned why Cummings isn't doing more to find out what happened to the $16 billion in financial aid that went to his city last year. 20 presidential candidates are set to debate in the second round of the Democratic debates. 10 of them will take the stage tonight, the other 10 tomorrow night. Tonight we'll see Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. And a final look at your numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow was down 23 points. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
The Trump administration is pushing Guatemala to approve a safe third country agreement that would force refugees and asylum seekers to apply there instead of coming to the United States. Acting Director of Citizenship and Immigration Services Ken Cuccinelli is pushing back against an article on The Hill which calls the idea jaw-droppingly insane.
the murder rate in Baltimore is higher than it is in Guatemala. So, right. If people want to talk about where you're safe and where you're not,
right.
Maybe the Hill author could turn and look at some of the cities in this country okay. where the murder rate is through the roof.
2020 Democratic contender Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard is suing Google for censorship. In a new video ad, Gabbard says the concentration of power at companies like Google is a direct threat to our democracy.
Now, nearly 70% of all Americans now use Facebook. Google controls 88% of all internet searches in the United States, with 73% using their YouTube platform.
This is USA Radio News.